Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, August the 21st. And as we go on the air here at 10 o'clock in North Texas, it's 91 degrees, if you can believe it. We're in that part of the year where it's always hot. And the good news is that it will end probably in a few weeks. The bad news is that it will end in a few weeks. I mean, we got more of this coming up, although it does look like it's going to drop a little bit over the next week or so. Today, we're going to talk about this controversy regarding President Trump and the so-called Flores decision. And we'll talk a little bit about it. But I think the president is right in forcing a change in that opinion. Harry Reid, you remember Harry Reid? He was the majority leader and then the minority leader of the U.S. Senate. I have to say, in the interest of full disclosure, I don't really like Harry Reid. But anyway, he's got some interesting advice for the Democrats. I want to begin, though, with a couple of interesting stories that are out there this evening. One is that former governor of Ohio, former representative John Kasich, is apparently going to New Hampshire. He's going to be, testing the waters a little bit. I'm assuming a challenge to President Trump in the primaries. I'm sure he's not moving to New Hampshire to run for the Senate in November, so I'm assuming he's there in New Hampshire testing the waters. Look, challenging President Trump in 2020 would be a very bad idea for any Republican of consequence. I think what you have to do is accept the fact that President Trump is going to be renominated, I think will be reelected, and then worry about 2024. I mean, you got plenty of time in 2024 to start thinking about that particular election. John Kasich is, I believe, 67 right now. So, you know, he would be a man in his early 70s. That's not that unusual these days to run for president. So my advice to former Governor Kasich, a man that I liked a great deal, and I still do, my advice would be to just lay low for a while and help the Republicans in the House, help the Republicans in the Senate. And I think if you do that, that'll get you a lot of dividends if you want to run for president later on. Amazing thing that we saw today with President Trump. He had a news conference, one of these impromptu, informal news conferences that he holds, you know, when he's getting into the helicopter to go to a speaking engagement or whatever. You know, he sits there with the media, and today he spoke with the media for about 40 minutes. And look, I've seen a lot of presidents. I mean, I can pretty much go back to President Johnson. And I don't remember any president doing anything like this as frequently as President Trump does it, where he's sitting there literally answering questions from the media one-on-one out there before he gets into the elevator. And today, of course, he came down very hard on NBC. I guess he got angry at a reporter from NBC who asked him a question. I don't remember what the question was at the moment. But the larger point is that I have never seen a president do this before, where he literally talks to the media for 40 minutes, completely unedited, just sits there and answers whatever question they have. I've never seen that. And I think he does it well. I think this is a setting that fits him well. And I hope he does more of it. I really do. I hope he does these impromptu press conferences as often as he can. You know, I have a post coming out tomorrow, Thursday, regarding what is obviously the new strategy from the Democrats and some of their friends in the media. And the strategy is that we're going to go out there now and we're going to talk about racism. Russia didn't work. Obviously, that didn't work. The collusion didn't work. That didn't work. So the new thing is that we're going to go out and we're going to repeat over and over and over again that President Trump is a racist. We're going to repeat this. We're going to repeat this. We're going to repeat this. And we're going to hope that somehow it sticks. I don't think it's going to stick. In other words, I think at this stage of the game, the people who think that President Trump is a racist are already compromised, meaning they're already going to vote against him. And the people like me who don't believe he's a racist, are going to vote for him. So, but I think in the middle, a lot of people are just getting fed up with this stuff because it's like, you know, all the Democrats do is talk about the fact this man's a racist. I just don't think that's winning them any votes. I really don't. I think there's a lot of Americans who would rather hear about something else, maybe fixing some problems like health care, for example, maybe doing something about the border. So I just don't think that this campaign of Trump is a racist, is going to fly. It'll win some votes, I agree with that. But I don't think it's going to win enough votes to make a difference. And if that's all the Democrats have, I think they're in deep trouble. That's much I can tell you. I think they're in deep trouble if this is all they have, you know, that Trump is a racist. Well, there's a couple of interesting stories today that I want to get into. The first one is that President Trump is challenging what they like to refer to as the Flores opinion. This is an opinion by one of the regional courts in the West Coast. It was not the Supreme Court, but it was, I think, the Ninth Circuit out in the West Coast. And it had to do with detaining. You can only detain, I guess, families with children for so long. And President Trump has decided to challenge that opinion. And basically, they're not going to obey the opinion. It'll probably end up in the courts, as these things always tend to do. And what happens after that, I don't know. But the problem is that when this decision was written in 1997, the situation on the border was it's totally different now than it was back in 1997. I mean, now you have literally people coming with children with the intent of getting into the United States. And it creates a tremendous problem on the border because our border facilities are not designed to be taking care of children. You know, we don't have border facilities with large space for children, with clinics. That's not what our Border Patrol is supposed to be doing. Now, interestingly enough, when President Obama had a similar problem back in 2014, when they were also flooded with a bunch of people on the border, they were also thinking about challenging this Flores decision. The argument, or the opinion, I should say, the Flores opinion. The argument from the Trump administration is that this particular opinion encourages illegal immigration, that encourages people to come up because they know that they will eventually have to be set free and let out in the general population, and then these people will have to come back for a court hearing, and as we understand, most of them don't do that anyway. So I think that's what the objective here is from the Trump administration. Now, the ideal solution would be for the president and the Congress to get together in a larger sense and do something about this asylum law, which is a disaster. I mean, it's completely irrelevant to our situation right now. I don't know whether Congress will do anything in 2020 because of the election year. I think a lot of Democrats are simply committed to opposing anything that President Trump proposes. But I think at this point, that's what has to be done. We need to change the asylum laws. And I think Congress has a responsibility here as the legislative body to put up a proposal that says this is what needs to happen. Now, if the Democrat members of Congress believe that the Flores opinion should be the law of the land, then they should write that law. They should write that law and send it to the U.S. Senate. I don't think it'll get anywhere in the U.S. Senate, but at least they should at least make it into a law, propose it as a law so that it's within our constitutional structure. But this idea that you have a judge in San Francisco who wrote an opinion 20 years ago about this problem, well, 20 years ago is a long time. And the situation on the border today is entirely different than it was when that opinion was written. So I agree with President Trump. The opinion needs to be challenged, and the opinion needs to be looked at again. And I would encourage the Congress, that's their responsibility, the Congress has the responsibility to write a new law and make it easier for Border Patrol to do their business on the border. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back right after this. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, 91 degrees here at 10 o'clock Central Time. Man, that is hot. I remember one time that I went jogging at 10 o'clock at night thinking that it would be a little cooler than it was at, let's say, 7 or even 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was cooler, but man, it was still pretty hot, 91 degrees. Well, a couple of things from on this day in history. In 1959, on this day, the state of Hawaii became number 50 or the 50th state to join the Union. 1959 was an interesting year because Alaska also joined the Union that year. So two states went into the flag, if you will. Two more stars were added to the flag in 1959, Alaska and Hawaii. And they were both interesting because Alaska and Hawaii were both outside of the 48 or the connected 48 or whatever they used to be called. I mean, Alaska is part of North America, of course, but Canada is between us and Alaska. But Hawaii was out there in the Pacific, and pretty good distance, 5 or 6 hours away, or at least the time zone is 5 or 6 hours away. But Hawaii, the beautiful state of Hawaii, became a member of the Union on this day in 1959. So happy number 60 to all of our friends in Hawaii, all of you listening out there in the beautiful state of Hawaii. And we say happy number 81 to Kenny Rogers, one of the great country pop singers of the last 40 or 50 years. Was always a big fan of Kenny Rogers. Great songs. And I really liked Kenny Rogers when he sang with the First Edition. I thought that was a really good group. You know, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town. I'm Dropping In to See what condition is in. That was another great song. And then, of course, Kenny Rogers went on to record many solo hits in the 1970s and 1980s. And he recorded that big one with, I can't think of their name right now, but Islands in the Stream with Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. That's it, Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers had that big song, The Islands in the Stream, a huge song in 1983. So happy number 81 to Kenny Rogers. I understand that he may be having a few health problems, so we're hoping that he recovers and at least gets back on touring. We would love to see him again touring the country. Well, one more story. Former Senator Harry Reid, former Majority Leader Harry Reid, former Minority Leader Harry Reid, and by the way, in the interest of full disclosure, not one of my favorite people. I've never been a fan of Harry Reid. I've always been very negative toward him simply because of the way that he conducted the Senate as Majority Leader, and also because in 2012, this is a man who went to the Senate floor as the Majority Leader of the United States. He went to the Senate floor and said, somebody told me that Mitt Romney had not paid his taxes. I mean, how irresponsible is that? Without any evidence, without any information, he just went on the floor of the Senate and said, hey, somebody told me that Mitt Romney had not paid his taxes. I mean, that's about as irresponsible as it gets. But anyway, he got away with it, and that's a shame on the media for that. But one of the things that he did today, I guess he's living in Nevada, and he's not very active in politics anymore, but I guess he granted an interview to somebody out there, and he had a warning, if you will, to the Democrats. He was warning the Democrats that they're going too far to the left on the border, as well as issues like Medicare for All and all of that. And he was warning them, hey, look, if you keep going in that direction, you're just going to give the Republicans or President Clinton a couple of issues on the border and Medicare for All. I think Senator Reid is exactly right on this. And, Democrats are probably not going to take his advice, but I think he's exactly right on this. I mean, the Democrats are going way too far to the left, and I think they're going to be in a very difficult position to connect with a lot of the general electorate in about 15 months or so. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.